You're listening to Unraveling. This podcast brings together a collection of raw, authentic conversations about the messy truth of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I have created Unraveling to explore both my own and others' inspiring journeys to reconnect back to themselves. Unraveling is an expression of both the highs and the lows of everyday life and covers a medley of topics inspired by my own adventures, from magical mysticism, mental health and menstruation, to self-expression, co-creation, and personal evolution through movement, meditation and intuitive practices that help us remember and reclaim our true essence. Thank you for tuning in and joining me on this beautiful process of unraveling. Now, let's head to the show. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 16 of Unraveling. I am on the podcast today just chatting to you just from myself. So I'm talking today a little bit about anxiety, and I've been sort of procrastinating on recording this episode a little bit because the truth of it is, the messy truth of it is that I don't have the whole anxiety thing figured out. It's something that I'm learning to be with and is definitely a part of my world, a part of my life in some ways. And actually, when I was kind of thinking about this episode and people were talking to me about my experience with anxiety and how I've helped myself and how I deal with it, the truth is I'm still working on this, and I think it'll probably be a constant practice because anxiety for me is present in my life in different degrees. So instead of this necessarily being a how to fix your anxiety kind of episode, this is me talking very honestly about how anxiety shows up in my life and how I have accumulated a toolkit, I guess, to help me navigate those anxious moments and just what anxiety means to me, I suppose. And this hopefully will, you know, there might be some nuggets in here that you can take away, or it might just mean that you can kind of listen to someone else who's experienced anxiety and experiencing anxiety in different degrees. So I've actually, anxiety's shown up for me a little bit more recently. I kind of go through phases, and for me at the moment, my breath has been a little bit tighter and shorter. And I think because there are some big transitions going on in my life, and there is lots of things that are sort of out of my control, and control is quite a big one for me, and it's probably the main source of my anxiety is this inability to control things. And I'm going to kind of go into that a little bit deeper in this episode. But for now, I think I will start at the beginning. I'll start when I first realized that let's start this again. There's two elements for me. There are two sort of ways that anxiety shows up for me. There is this kind of low level of anxiety that sort of hangs around a bit like a bad smell, and it's kind of this almost this slight heaviness in the body. It's sort of just this lingering sensation that doesn't really ease. It's sort of there all the time. And it's like this, I guess it's like this low level of just a general little bit of worry that sort of sits there and can either be fueled by my thoughts or can be kind of distracted, I suppose, in some ways, or can completely go at times as well. So it's not there all the time, but this kind of, there's this element of this sort of low grade anxiety just sort of sitting there. You know, it sits there and it can either be fed or it can be starved, I suppose, in certain ways. And then the other way that anxiety shows up for me is through panic attacks. And I have to say, touch wood, I haven't had a panic attack for quite a long time. But panic attacks were how I kind of really realized I was dealing with anxiety, because they were sort of the tipping over of the edge, I suppose. And it was during, I think I was about, well, it was my late teens, early 20s, where these panic attacks started to show up a little bit more for me. And they would nearly always happen around food. And my big fear, I've always been afraid of being sick, of actually vomiting. I don't know where it stems from. I mean, I know that nobody likes to be sick, but I have this like huge, huge fear of being sick. And I think it probably does stem from this lack of control. And it's this horribly uncomfortable sensation. And, you know, obviously being sick is not pleasant. But I would it would often be in a restaurant or in around food, and I'd kind of get to the point where I'd sit there and I'd suddenly be like, oh my God, I think I'm going to be sick. I like could not even contemplate putting food in my mouth. I was like terrified I was going to be sick in the middle of a restaurant or in front of people. And I have to say, I never was actually sick. But I had this just like, oh, just this ultimate fear. And at first I didn't know that it was panic attacks. I thought that there was actually something wrong with me. I thought it was to do with the food I was eating. And it probably was contributed to by the food I was eating, but there wasn't something wrong with me in a physical sense like that. It was actually my mum that pointed out to me one time when it happened, when we were out in a restaurant, that I was having a panic attack, because I was like, I just have to get out of this restaurant. I can't sit here. I can't focus. I can't breathe. My chest would be tight. I was like, I just need to get out. And I'd go really shaky, like my whole body would shake. And I would go kind of almost like shivery and then hot. And I just had to get out. I had to be away from everybody and I had to be like in my own space. And I'd then get this like overwhelming feeling of exhaustion come over my body. And the panic attacks would often come when I had totally burnt myself out and I hadn't really been listening to my body. And I have to say, I'm a lot better at that now. I can catch myself usually before I get to the point of the full blown panic attack. But I guess that what that stems from is this low level of anxiety that kind of just sits there. And if you don't listen to it and you do ignore it, then ultimately it explodes in some shape or form. I don't mean like literally explodes, but it will manifest. It will keep kind of festering away until something really kind of, it will make you stop and listen. So once I knew that it was a panic attack and not something else wrong with me, it did actually ease my mind, because a lot of my anxiety stems from health and being, getting ill or getting something awful wrong with me, or, you know, again, just this lack of being able to control exactly what's going to happen in my life and whether I was going to get ill or whether I was going to get some, you know, really unpleasant disease. And I think by just knowing what was going on, it just eased it for me. It just meant that, okay, I could identify that this wasn't that there was something wrong with me. This was my anxiety. This was more of a mental thing that was happening to me. So just by understanding that, it really did help to shift my perspective. So I kind of then turned to looking at ways that I could support myself better, I guess, throughout everyday life. I think I probably came into it with this mindset of wanting to control the anxiety, but now I understand that it's more about managing it and being aware of it and actually kind of listening to it, because it does give me some good feedback if I choose to actually listen and act according to the feelings and sensations that are coming up. So my first port of call was nutrition, was actually to go to looking at what I was eating and how that was perhaps impacting my anxiety and my stress. So I looked at just changing my diet in little ways eating more whole food, so less processed food, less sugar, because what I was what I learned was that, you know, the more sugar I had and the more processed carbohydrates and refined sugars, the more it upset my blood sugar levels. And when my blood sugar levels were going up and down, it would make me feel shaky and that would make me feel panicky. So learning to support my blood sugar levels with good quality food, whole food based meals, protein, fats, like healthy fats. So I just, it was little things like I would start my day making sure I had a good amount of protein and fat and sustainable food, so I wasn't going to go shaky within a couple of hours. So a bowl of, you know, sugary cereal versus a smoothie with some nuts and seeds or avocado or something like that was definitely a big shift. And then making sure I had good amounts of healthy protein and fats at each meal, and lots of green vegetables, lots of colourful vegetables to really nourish my body and sort of support it, and to reduce any inflammation. So any kind of food allergies, I cut out gluten and dairy for a while, just because it felt better. My body felt less inflamed. And things like having a pack of almonds, for example, or some seeds or something just on hand, so that I never got to the point of being really shaky hungry. So that feeling of sort of hanger, I suppose it is, where you just, you know, almost feel sick because you're so hungry. Like, I just had to be really aware of not letting myself get to that point. And it did take quite a lot of unraveling, because I had been really sticking to what I called safe foods, like plain toast with butter on, or very simple plain foods but very kind of carbohydrate based, like a bowl of pasta or something like that, just because I was less anxious about how that would make me feel. I thought that would make me feel better because it was very simple and not likely to upset my tummy. But yeah, so I had to kind of completely rethink my eating choices. But that actually, you know, this is where I come to gratitude towards my anxiety, because that led me on to starting to discover more about food and get creative with food, and then study health coaching, and then actually support other people in helping them to understand how food impacts their body and makes a difference to all sorts of areas of their life. In the meantime, I had actually been to the doctors several times, and they had talked about putting me on various different drugs. And I'm not saying that drugs are bad in any shape or form. I think they have a really great purpose when they feel right and they feel aligned with you. But for me, they didn't feel aligned. It didn't feel like I wanted to go down that route. So I was referred for some CBT, but that actually took about 6 months to come through. So I actually got put on a stress management course. And the stress management course was really powerful, actually. It was a group course, and I think it was 6 weeks or something, and I used to go once a week. And what it basically did was it taught me the fundamentals of what stress and anxiety was and how it showed up in the body. So it helped me understand the physical effects of stress. So for example, we talk a lot about, and I've gone deeper into this since I've done my meditation teacher training and the yoga work, and obviously, you know, the more and more I've delved into this, the more I've learned. But ultimately, when we are experiencing stress, we're in this state of fight or flight. We're kind of in this constant state of fight or flight. Now, in the olden days, when we were being, you know, chased by a tiger, this stress response was really powerful, and it's actually a survival mechanism, and it's really incredible what our body does. It switches from, you know, one mode, so our parasympathetic mode, which is our rest and digest. So that's the kind of, you know, that's when we're calm and relaxed and we're safe. When we're under threat, it switches to the sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight or flight mode. And this will get us, this means that we need to flee. We are being chased by something, for example. We, you know, a tiger, saber-toothed tiger in the olden days would, you know, we needed to have this adrenaline pumping. We needed our bodies to completely focus on our survival at that point. And what happens is that our bodies don't differentiate now the stress that we're under from being in a traffic jam or being under pressure at work or being sad or upset about something and feeling like our world is crumbling. Our bodies don't know the difference between that stress and being chased by the saber-toothed tiger. So the response is still the same. And that can lead to things like our heart rate going up. It can lead to things like us emptying our bowels because we need to be, you know, ready to flee. It switches off things like the sex hormones and reproductive hormones because they're not essential for survival. And this has been a big one for me with the loss of my menstruation. I absolutely wholeheartedly believe that stress was probably the root cause of losing that, because my body was constantly prioritizing my stress hormones over my reproductive hormones. So understanding the stress response in the body was really fundamental to my healing, because again, I could understand that why in the mornings, for example, when I was really anxious, I'd like have to go to the toilet several times because my body was effectively kind of just, you know, emptying in order to be prepared to flight or to flee, whatever, you know, to escape the stress and the trauma that I was experiencing or that my body thought I was experiencing. So it helped me to understand that. And I definitely will get someone onto the podcast to discuss this a little bit more deeper, because I think just understanding the stress response on its own is really, really powerful. So yeah, that was a really huge part of my healing, I guess, or my understanding over anxiety. Now, it was quite a few years ago that this all began for me. It was actually probably in my early 20s, and it sort of went off and on a bit throughout sort of middle 20s. And then it was towards the end of my 20s that I started to really, really become so aware of this anxiety, of this like just chronic anxiety there all the time, that I decided like enough was enough. And I'd been to the doctors when it had got bad, and I'd been, you know, I'd tried different things, and I was kind of managing it through little tips and tools and had little coping mechanisms, but I wasn't really getting to the root cause of it. And I think this is one of the things, this is why I find it's really difficult actually to advise or suggest how to, I hate to use the word fix, so how to support each individual's anxiety, because it's so, so unique how it shows up. You know, we're all completely individual, and ultimately there are, you know, there are root causes of this anxiety, and they can differ for various different people. So for me, I had to really start to get to the root of what I think effectively of as my anxiety was my big sign of being kind of unaligned in my life, as in, you know, the life I was living wasn't filling me with the joy and the fulfillment, and wasn't completely aligned with where I guess my soul wanted to be. So anxiety was showing up to give me the message that something had to change. And so I went on a bit of a voyage of discovery, changing lots of different things in my life, exercising more, changing, you know, working on my nutrition in a deeper way, learning different skills and changing my career, really looking at what was feeling good in my life and what wasn't feeling good. And for some, that might be really simple little things. For me, it kind of meant I had to strip away an awful lot of the things that I was using, or that I was sort of had implemented in my life. And so began the journey of unraveling myself. And as I said earlier, I went and did my health coaching certification with the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, which was a really pivotal moment for me. I had to go really deep into looking at myself in all sorts of different areas and looking at the parts of me that were not in alignment in my life. And, you know, there were so many parts of that that I couldn't face at the time. So I really want to urge you to be really gentle and not rush this process, because it's taken me now like 7 or 8 years to get to this point from when this journey really began, which I don't say to scare you and say it's going to take that long at all, but that's how long it's taken me to really kind of come back to this space. And it's not like that's been 7 years of anxiety and of hell. It's been a journey, it's been an adventure, and I very much know that that will continue. But I threw myself into different controlling mechanisms, I suppose, which was, I'm a bit of an all or nothing kind of person. So if I get determined with something, I will give it everything. But it does mean sometimes I don't, or I didn't listen to the messages my body was giving me. So I joined a gym, I started strength training. I really threw myself into that, and I used exercise very much to help me with my anxiety. And it certainly worked, but I didn't take into consideration the years and years and years of kind of built up stress in my body, and how that was, without me knowing, I had this chronic level of stress under, like lying sort of underneath. So that meant that my body was inflamed and it wasn't dealing with things very well. My reproductive system was irregular at this point. So it was showing me signs that it wasn't happy and it wasn't quite as healthy as it could have been, but I chose to not listen. Well, actually, that's not entirely true. I did go to the doctors and I got diagnosed with polycystic ovaries, which I now dispute, but that's a whole nother story. But, you know, the doctors kind of led me to believe that there wasn't an issue with me having irregular periods. And so I believed that. It's only now that I've done so much more work on that part of, you know, that part of my life, that I really understand that those were the first real alarm bells. And that was 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago now. So I ended up injuring my back. I damaged a disc in my back, and it meant I couldn't exercise. So I turned more towards diet to control my weight, because I was convinced that if I was a certain size, I was going to be happy and my anxiety wouldn't be there. And I would, you know, everything in my life was going to slot in perfectly. And of course, that wasn't the case. It actually led to more stress in my body, because I started to restrict food quite substantially. And I was very controlling of my food. I didn't starve myself. I didn't binge eat. I didn't have an eating disorder as such, but I certainly had disordered ways of eating. It wasn't healthy. And that is, again, something I'm still working on now. And maybe that's a whole nother episode. But I think through that process, that led me to yoga, led me to start practicing yoga, because I had hurt my back and I couldn't train in the way I wanted to. And someone said it would help me and maybe help my back. So turned to yoga, turned to movement, and started to understand the power of relaxation and the power of connecting in with my body. Yoga really taught me that, to listen in. And then from there, it sort of, I guess it kind of fast forwarded pretty swiftly when I decided to leave my old business. And that's nearly 3 years ago. In fact, sort of pretty much 3 years ago to the day almost, I had made the decision that I was going to only continue with that business until the end of the year. So yeah, nearly 3 years ago now. So I decided to change my career. I was going to full-time health coach and do workshops, and I threw myself into that. And I also had this kind of thing in the back of my head that I wanted to do yoga teacher training. So yeah, in 2016, I started that year with this new career in mind, this new business I was starting, working with people in their nutrition and their health and their well-being and running workshops. And it started off amazingly. And then I was like, oh, something doesn't feel right still. And I was so anxious and overwhelmed and cross and angry and sad and didn't know what to do with myself, because I was like, but I thought this was the answer. And so I decided to go and do my yoga teacher training. You know, I decided to just go off for a month and immerse myself in that. And each time, I guess one thing that I've learned from my anxiety is that each time I've done something that was a bit scary or a bit more out of my comfort zone, it has helped with my anxiety, because it's shown me how strong I can be even when I'm feeling anxious, when I'm still feeling scared, when I'm still feeling unsure. These stepping stones have each thing I've done, whether it's flying on my own or going to another country and not knowing people or traveling across for like 8 hours on a boat and a bus and, you know, to get to a remote place in Costa Rica. Each of these things has really shown me how resilient I can be. And I think, much as I don't, like, I wouldn't wish anxiety or panic attacks on anybody, each time I've got through an anxious period in my life, it has made me stronger. It has reminded me that I can cope with things. And so I don't fear it now as much. Like, I know that it will come up, and it will come up for a reason. It will come up to teach me something. And I don't fear that anymore. Whereas before, I was so terrified of relapsing or going back to how I felt before that I had to control every single element. And this is yet another reason why I find it really hard to give necessarily like advice on how to deal with anxiety, because anxiety's made me who I am now. And yes, it's been really uncomfortable and shit at times, and I wouldn't wish the experiences, like the discomfort and the horrible sensations and that fear and that complete overwhelm, on anybody. But it has made me who I am, and it has led me down some incredible paths of discovery about myself that I would never have gone down if it hadn't shown up for me. So there is an element of having to be with it and experience it and know that it will pass. And I guess this is why understanding it and understanding why it's showing up is the most powerful thing we can do, is to really use anxiety as a way of self-inquiry, of getting more connected to ourselves, because it does show up for a reason. This is certainly my experience. And I, you know, as I said at the beginning of this podcast, this is me talking about how it's shown up in my life. And the things it's probably taught me the most is that I can't control everything, and it's led me to have to trust. And I think this is one of the key messages that I have had to learn over the last few years, is trust, and completely surrender to the fact that life is going to unfold in ways that we cannot control. And that is really terrifying. And it goes back to a few episodes ago when I talked about uncertainty. Like, we want to control everything, but we can't. And the more we try and control it, the more anxious we are. You know, it's this constant looking to the future and trying to figure stuff out and trying to know what's going to happen. And we can't do that. And that's what leads us to become so anxious, to become so fearful of what's ahead. And I just, you know, I have to remind myself to trust. And every time that I go through this and I get to the point where I start to find myself really overthinking things that might happen in the future, I come back to a sentence that somebody said to me in a period of time when I was in a really quite dark place. And she just said to me, "It's already taken care of." And I was like, oh, so actually there's no point in me worrying right now. And I know that it's really easy for me to say, you know, there's no point in worrying. And if I had a pound for every time someone was like, just don't worry about it when you're in the midst of anxiety, I would be a millionaire. But it's finding a little anchor for you. And that might be a phrase, or it might be something, just like a reading something or a reminder of some description that just sort of brings you back to now and reminds you that all that we can do is trust. All that we can do is put things in place, of course, you know, look after ourselves, nourish ourselves well, take care of ourselves and do the things that feel good, and then trust, and then we have to let it go and surrender it to whatever is unfolding. So just by saying to myself, it's already taken care of, whenever I start to worry about something that might happen, it kind of just soothes me. It's like a sort of soothing sentence that helps me just go, oh, you know what? You're right. I can't worry about this. I can't put my energy into worrying about what might happen when all that is important is this moment. And it was something I learned from CBT, which was to notice what was going on around me at that moment in time. And that was whether I'd actually say out loud, oh, there's a nice tree. Oh, there's a bird. Oh, there's a dog in the road. You know, like there's all these things. I don't know why I said dog in the road. I think it's because the dog has just come into the room when I'm recording this. There's a dog. It's just noticing those things. And that's that ever unfolding challenge of being present and being right here, right now in this moment. And it's so cheesy for me to say it, of course, but it genuinely is the truth. Is like the only thing we do have and we can be sure of is right this second, what's happening now. And actually by just going, you know what, I can't control what's going to happen in 5 minutes. That's, you know, that's okay. I'm okay with that. So I think when it comes to anxiety for me, the deeper root of the reasons for anxiety was this lack of trust. This lack of trust that I was going to be supported, this lack of trust that I was doing the right thing for myself, the lack of trust that I was heading in the right direction, and constantly thinking like, oh, should I be doing something differently, or should I force this, or I need to chase that, or, you know, it was constantly kind of living in this state of not being enough right now, and always looking for the next thing and the next moment, and just being out of this present moment. So probably the most powerful thing for me when it comes to getting present and to coming back to now is using the breath. And the breath was one of the things that showed up the most for me in my anxiety, and it still does. And that's one of my big telltale signs now, is if my breath starts to shorten and I don't feel like I can breathe fully into my belly, then I know that there's this low level of anxiety there. And that's when I turn to my tools, my meditation tools, my relaxation tools, my going out into nature, like my maybe moving my body and getting out of my head. Those are the sort of tools I come to when I notice that shortness of breath. And you'll have something that manifests in your body that you know is a sign of your anxiety. And you can then start to learn to listen to that and then create a little toolkit for yourself. And of course, you're going to have to try things out and see what works. And don't be afraid to try things out, and some of them not work. Some of them will, some of them won't. You know, I've taken supplements and they haven't worked. I've, tried different things and they didn't work for me, but they have worked really well for another person. So coming back to the breath has really helped me. And I simply say to myself on each breath, because what I would get sort of fixated on the fact that, oh, if I can't breathe now, like I'm just not going to be able to, like, what if I can never breathe again? Like, what if I'm like this forever? What if I'm dizzy and I'm going lightheaded because I'm breathing in too much and I'm not breathing out enough? And I just come back to that one single breath and just say to myself, I am breathing in. I am breathing out. I am breathing in. I am breathing out. And each time, just focusing on a nice, even breath, breathing in perhaps for two, breathing out for two, or maybe breathing out for longer than the inhale, which helps to regulate the our breath, our oxygen a little bit more. It helps to just remove that that dizziness that we get when we inhale too much and don't exhale enough. So it's really about listening to yourself and listening, where do you feel the most content in your life? Like, where do you feel the most peaceful? What are the things you're doing when you're in those spaces? And these are going to be clues to your tools to help you with your anxiety. Because as I said earlier, for me, anxiety is a sign of being out of alignment. So I know that if I start to get those feelings, I need to come back into alignment. And for me, that is doing a really lovely, beautiful yoga nidra practice. It's being in nature. Like last week, I felt particularly anxious and I literally spent the whole, as much as possible, time as I could out in nature, just walking and being with the trees and being outside. And that might be 5 minutes, it might be 2 hours, moving my body gently. It's really, yeah, it's a really powerful tool, but that might not be for everyone. You know, your thing might be actually being surrounded by people and being, you know, somewhere really sociable. That might be actually what takes you into alignment and helps you deal with that anxiety. One of the things that I've also found really powerful is my cycle. So now that I do have my menstrual cycle back, even though it's a little irregular, that using that, and also using, if you don't have a bleed at the moment, then using the nature and the lunar cycle to look at kind of how your body is feeling. And for me, I know that the premenstrual phase, so my inner autumn, which is, you know, just before I have my bleed, that's the time when I'm the most anxious. That's the time where I feel really stressed out. I feel like resistant to things. I feel tired and I feel like I really need to, you know, I feel more anxious at that time. So I know that that time of the month is when I need to support myself a little bit more and I need to be gentler with myself. So you might find that there are certain phases in a month when it might correlate to the moon, it might correlate to the weather, it might correlate to your menstrual cycle. There'll be different times where you might feel more anxious, and you can over time start to track that and keep a diary of how you're feeling on certain days, so you can actually start to use it as a bit of a map, use it as a little bit of a guide, just to say, okay, there's certain days where I need to be extra gentle, or there's certain days where I need to not book in as much as I would normally. So my favorite tools to help me when I'm anxious are, just as a little recap, because I've kind of gone over quite a few of these, nutrition. So eating to balance my blood sugar and eating to reduce inflammation. And that's going to look different for different people. I'm always happy to chat about that. Breath work. So just I am breathing in, I am breathing out. My meditation is a sanctuary for me. Yoga nidra particularly. I'm actually so excited to say that I'm going to be in a few weeks' time heading off to do my yoga nidra teacher training. So that is something I'm going to be bringing more of to the world. And I am so excited about that. Having a really good support network. I had a great WhatsApp group with my friends who also, you know, struggled at times with anxiety. And so the times where I felt a bit wobbly, I would message them and they were, you know, always on hand to support. And it might be that, you know, you feel a little bit embarrassed to speak about this, but so many people have problems with anxiety and face this in their life. It's nothing to be ashamed of. So I really want to reiterate that having any form of anxiety, no matter what it's about, is not to be ashamed of. It's not a secret that you need to keep. More and more people are telling me about it and they're speaking up about it, and there's so many places that you can get support now. So please, please, please never feel that you have to hide away your anxiety or these feelings, even if you know you don't understand where it's stemming from. Just please be, you know, just speak up about it. It's really nothing to be ashamed of at all. Movement, yoga has been great, but also the most powerful thing for me has probably been dancing and actually shaking. So there's in the wild, when an animal is chased by something else, you know, a predator or whatever, if it gets away and then at the, you know, once it's sort of settled, it will shake off that sort of trauma out of its body. And there was lots of scientific studies around shaking, and I'm not an expert in this, but I just know that it works for me and my body. Literally shaking, like, your hands, your legs, your body, or, you know, everything, shaking out as if you were like shaking out that anxiety, shaking out that experience. So even if you put on your favorite song and just shake or dance, you know, dance out, movement is really powerful for helping change your state. So when you're in that anxious state, the last thing you want to do often is to move. But actually, if you move, then you can actually let it pass through your body. Having a shower, it sounds really weird, but having a shower, so particularly if you're, you know, anxious at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, having a shower and literally almost washing away that anxiety, like feeling it kind of pass over your body and washing that away. A body scrub or dry body brushing, kind of getting things moving through your body, any way of just almost kind of removing it from your skin, removing it off your body. Like, I find that really powerful, and also kind of, again, it just changes the state. And it's also a really, you know, loving thing to do for your body, to take care of it. So it's sort of like a double whammy there. Gratitude, I've talked about in one of my last recent episodes. Gratitude is so powerful, coming back to that feeling that you have everything you need rather than this kind of place of scarcity. Really, really powerful. So please do listen to that episode if you haven't already. And then I think just acceptance that, you know, so many of us do have anxiety or have anxious moments. You know, very few people will get through this life without feeling anxious at times. And just being aware of it and letting it give you the messages it needs to give you. So if it's there all the time, then it's delving a little bit deeper into what the root cause of that is. And you may need to speak to a trained professional. There's, again, no shame in asking for support from someone who specializes in working with people with anxiety. There's lots of resources out there that can help you with that. And as I said, like, trust. I have so many affirmations written above my desk that is about trust, and it's one of my biggest lessons, and one of them I'm looking at right now. I choose to trust the rhythm of my body, because when I was going through, you know, worrying about whether I was going to have another period or not, I had to just trust. I really did, because the more anxious I got, the more it was actually harming my body. So I had to just sit there and trust. And yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. But I really want you to know that you're supported, and there are, you know, there are lots and lots of people that are going through similar. And I know that doesn't necessarily help when you're in it, because it feels like you're the only person there. And there were so many times where I was like crying on the bathroom floor, rocking, not knowing what to do with myself, and, you know, putting so much pressure on my, you know, family and the people that loved me, because I didn't know how to deal with myself. Like, I didn't know what to do, and I'd put a lot of pressure on them. So, you know, from an outsider's point of view, it can be really hard, especially if they're not struggling in the same way, if they've not experienced that anxious feeling. It can be really hard to understand. So by speaking to people that do understand, it can really help you feel less alone in those moments. I think starting the day with some lovely rituals can be really powerful. Some rituals that make you feel good and grounded. Grounding, again, I keep just thinking of tools to share, things that have helped me. Grounding at the beginning of the day is so powerful, and that can be anything from standing outside barefoot on the grass, if you can, and just letting your feet sink into the earth. That's really powerful. It can be just being in nature. It can be just walking and feeling the strength of your legs. It might be a movement practice. It might be doing some strength training, really grounding and connecting into your body, taking yourself out of your head. So that overthinking mind that analyzes everything and that wants to criticize everything and tell you that you're not doing enough and that you shouldn't be feeling this way. Coming out of that by getting into your body, and that's again where movement comes, is so, so powerful. It's really, really magical. It's like a simple technique. And it might be even just saying to yourself, I am grounded. I am grounded. I can feel my feet on the floor. I am grounded. I am strong and I am grounded. Using the I am statements, the sort of like an affirmation, is really, really powerful too. So instead of saying, you know, like, I wish I was, I am. I am strong. I am calm. I am peaceful. I am capable. I am enough. Any of those that feel good. And you know, please, please, please let me know if you use any of those statements and find a really powerful one that works for you. I think for now I've probably rambled on enough, and as I said to you, this isn't a kind of this is how you fix things, because you're not broken. You are not broken. You are beautiful as you are, and these are parts of our humanness. You know, these emotions that we are scared of feeling, anxiety is one of them, but there's also, you know, grief and sadness and anger and overwhelm, all these emotions that we're not supposed to feel because they're not the desirable emotions like joy and fun and happiness. They are a part of being human. They are a part of being a real, raw human being on this planet, and there is no shame in that. There is no shame in those feelings coming up. And the more we try and suppress them, the more they are going to make themselves heard. So, yeah, I don't know, you know, I'm going to leave it at this, because I realized that I've already been talking for 45 minutes and this was supposed to be a quick episode. But yeah, I'm still unraveling this, and I think I always will be, if I'm honest. I think I'll always be with anxiety. I will always live with anxiety, and that's okay. I'm okay with that, because she is a part of me and she tells me things on a regular basis, and she's my, I suppose in a way, my guiding star. And I'm really appreciative for where she's brought me, because there's absolutely no way on earth that I would be recording this podcast episode now, and I wouldn't have the Facebook group Unraveling Deeper, which I hope you will join me in. I wouldn't have discovered yoga. I wouldn't have, you know, I might have discovered all of these things, of course, but I wouldn't be in this place right now if it wasn't for the journeys I've been on. And anxiety has been a big part of that. So I'm going to leave it at that. And I would really welcome anybody to get in touch if you want to talk more on this subject. I would love to see you in the Unraveling Deeper Facebook group, which is a group for people that listen to the show and want to just take things a little bit deeper, continue the conversation. If you think this episode would be helpful to someone else, then please, please share it. And I'd also love it if anybody is enjoying the show and wants to subscribe or leave a review or just a star rating. That would be incredible as well. So for now, I'm going to leave you here, and I'm really grateful for you joining me. If you've listened this long, then thank you for listening to my rambling words. I'm so grateful for it, and I can't believe I'm already at episode 16. I don't know where this is going to take me, as I've said on many occasions, but I am throwing myself into trust. I'm surrendering to this process. And I am enjoying the beautiful chaos that is unraveling. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I will see you soon. Lots of love.